How's it going? This is Cross Channel Football. David Dunn here, joined by Martin Prendergast, and this is a new chapter in Lansdowne Road, an Irish perspective on the beautiful game. Slightly different to what you're used to here on Lansdowne Road and Lansdowne Roar. We're not moving away from the boys in green. We're not moving away from Irish football. As such, we're still going to be doing all our matches. We're still going to be going to the games. We're still going to be doing live streams from the games, that kind of thing. And when there's a bit of news happening with the boys in green, we're going to do a podcast about it. It just isn't a whole lot of positivity around the Irish team at the moment, and not really a lot to talk about other than the usual, you know, what manager, how the FAI got lined up sort of thing. So we're going to do something a bit different. We're going to move a little bit away from that, albeit just temporarily. And yeah, Martin, and it gives us a chance to talk about other things. What was it you said to me off there, from non-league to the Champions League, which I thought was a very nice little kind of a slogan.
I'm full of ideas, Dave, and full of positivities, you know.
But yeah, full of a lot of things.
It's a it's a bit of a low ebb, isn't it, in Irish football at the moment? And you know, we love covering the boys in green, of course, and the girls as well. And there are games obviously coming up within the next window, which we'll be covering in full, as was our usual kind of output, I suppose. But yeah, we wanted to just chat about, like, we have regular chats ourselves, don't we, about football. And we thought, why don't we just have these discussions on a podcast? Because, you know, a lot of people are falling out of love with the beautiful game, in a sense, like the millionaires and things like that, and the engagement between fans and understanding that. And personally speaking, I'm more involved now with non-league football, watching Enfield Town, and I've kind of reignited my love for the game a little bit. You know, I've seen Man United win the lot, so I'm obviously now being a glory hunter, Dave, and going to support Enfield Town non-league. I mean, it's just weird. I was at the FA Cup semi-final, Man United against Coventry. And I've also, but I think the highlight of my season so far is seeing Enfield Town win a playoff. It's incredible. And, you know, that is obviously very clear. There's a low ebb in Man United. But also, following Ireland, it is a troubled journey at some way for many of us, isn't it? But we still go, and I'll still follow Man United. And but, you know, we just thought it'd be interesting to chat about some of these kind of high-end topics, I suppose, that are going on in football around the world. So,
There's a lot, you know, and as I said, we do love the Irish football team. I mean, we're going to Portugal. I'll be there in Portugal, hopefully live from the stadium, if I haven't had my media pass revoked. We'll find out. After the last time we were both on, when we just basically we just ranted about the state of the managerial hunt, and he's going to come in, and, you know, John, when we thought that the FA were playing a blinder by having nobody, you know, by no leaks about who the next manager is going to be, and then you find out they don't have anyone lined up. But yeah, no, we have to broaden our horizons a little bit, because it does get you down a little bit, and it just becomes all very negative. And we said, you know what, as you said, Martin, let's just talk about football. Let's just talk about all things. If something's going on the continent, if it's going on across the water, let's talk about it. We've got the Euros coming up. There's plenty to talk about. And we will be on international duty. We will be there in Portugal. We will be there in Dublin. And we're going to be following the boys in green. And if we do have a an Irish topic to talk about, it will just be Lansdowne Road. It'll just be Lansdowne Road. And then we'll talk about it, and it'll be the same thing again. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this anyway.
And as well, we also know, Dave, that, like, lots of our listeners follow clubs. They follow League of Ireland teams.
Yeah.
They follow, like, domestic football teams in England and across the continent. So, you know, everyone has opinions on football. So we do want to hear from our listeners as well. Ask us anything. You know, we followed football for, over 40 years now myself, Dave. You know, I'm a bit older than you and wiser. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from our listeners and ask us or remind us of things that happened back in the day. And yeah, that's where we are with it.
That's it. And, you know, look, we're, as always, it's been a while since I said this, but if you like what you hear, you love what you see, hit that subscribe button. There's a QR code down the bottom right. You can head over to our Instagram, our Twitter, our Facebook. Please give the YouTube channel a cheeky subscribe as well. We are trying to grow that. And if you want to talk, if you want to email us directly, you got pod@lansdowneroar.ie. That's pod@lansdowneroar.ie if you have any comments about the show. And you can leave a comment down below. If you got any suggestions, you know, this is brand new. So it's a little, we haven't done this for a bit, for a couple of weeks. It's a bit, it's new. It's we're trying to sort of find our feet a little bit with it. So you got any suggestions, things you like about it, things you don't like about it, things you'd like to see? You know, we do pride ourselves on being Irish football's most interactive podcast, and it is for the fans. It is for the fans, and we're fans too, and we want to hear from you guys out there. So just let us know. You are the Roar faithful, we hope, anyway. But yeah, also, sorry we haven't been on for the last couple of weeks, but you know, we were just kind of looking for a little bit of a direction on what we wanted to do next. So here we are. So Martin, are you ready to crack on?
I am, Dave. Yep.
Our maiden voyage here. Across channel football. Let's see how we get on. I mean, there's only one place to start, really. That is obviously last night, the Premier League, and Man City marching on to a fourth title in a row. There they are there. A brace from that man there, Mr. Erling Haaland. A tap in and a penalty last night. I mean, this was probably the only real banana peel, wasn't it, for City? You know, at the Tottenham Stadium last night, you're thinking, if you're going to slip up, it's going to be here. But they just wore Tottenham down. Tottenham had a few decent chances, Martin, didn't they? But they just wore them down, really, didn't they? And they just, City just do what City do, really.
Yeah, they did. It was a good professional job, wasn't it? And yeah, it wasn't without a little bit of controversy, I suppose, or chances, I suppose, for Tottenham. You know, Son had a great one-on-one chance. Keeper had come off the bench, hadn't he, and made a brilliant save. So, I thought that was incredible in the footage, watching, you know, Pep, who's normally so calm and controlled. I mean, we know he's enthusiastic, of course, and charismatic. But, you know, he's like falling on the floor. It just shows you the drama. It was that kind of telling moment of the season, in the sense that if Son had scored that, you know, what was it? What would have happened? But, you know, I think just professional job. I think City have ground this out very well. And yeah, like you said, they're on the verge now, four titles in a row, which has never been done in Premier League history. And of course, we've got the wonderful 115 charges, which they're not answerable for either. So that is the bit.
Not bitter at all, Martin.
But I thought it was very good. What I have been interested to follow, and I do have a conspiracy theory on this, is Ange. I love Ange. You know, proper Aussie, isn't he? I thought he was quite entertaining, and in the press conference after, saying, you know, the fragility of Tottenham off and on the pitch, you know, and there's footage of him having a go at a fan who'd been quite vocal behind him in the seats, wanting City to win. And, you know, that was the kind of the quandary that Tottenham found themselves in last night. They wanted to kind of get a result for their own season, but it would have been obviously helpful to Arsenal's cause to win the league. Yeah, he turned around and had a go at this fan and said, you know, I just want to see who you were and all this. And then he's obviously been quite scathing of Tottenham in a sense. And my theory on that is that he's looking to get out the door to come to Old Trafford. Burn it down, Ange, and come burn to Old Trafford.
I think it's so funny. I think like Tottenham have broken him a little bit already. He's trying to be one of football's good guys, isn't he? Although I think he does try a bit too hard. I always think back to the row he had on telly when he was under-21s manager, Australian under-21s manager. His career was finished. You can find it there on YouTube. And, you know, he comes across as this kind of surly, sort of angry man. But he's kind of tried, you know, he's come back now and he's rebuilt his career, obviously, and he's done really well. But I love how at the beginning of the season he was like, oh, yeah, you know, no, mate, you know, I'm one of the good guys, you know, I'm fighting the good fight kind of thing. And now towards the end of the season, like, he's going on about how the fragility in the inside the club, outside the club, moaning about the fans, you know, we need to be bigger than that. I do agree what he's saying, because I think a small club mentality. You know what I mean? Like, Everton are bragging that their only thing really other than staying up is, oh, you know, we cost Liverpool the league. Like, that's small club mentality. I think United have slipped into that as well, to be fair. You know, going on about the cost of Liverpool, you know, the 4-3 in the FA Cup, and, you know, probably be a DVD out about that. That sort of thing. And he's trying to move away from that, isn't he, a bit? And I think before this game, there were rumours and there was talk amongst players. You know, Mark Keown was very, he was almost crying on TalkSport, wasn't he? Saying, oh, you know, Tottenham are going to, you know, they're going to cost Arsenal league and all this, you know, all this kind of nonsense. Even though Spurs had a chance at Champions League football, which is now all gone. So it's going to be the Europa League for them now, isn't it? Aston Villa are guaranteed Champions League football.
Yeah, which I'll come on and chat about them in a minute. I mean, one quick question for you, if I can even get the words out, Dave.
Go on.
This is the final day of the season we're going into, obviously, this weekend. It's the first time that Arsenal have been involved in on the last day of potentially winning the league title since 1999, when Man United won the treble.
Wow. Yeah, because they always had it wrapped up or lost it, didn't they?
Yeah, it was there on the last day. It was between Man United, obviously, playing at Tottenham. Yeah. I think Man United played at Old Trafford. Andy Cole came off the bench and they won 2-1. They were 1-0 down. And yeah. I was at that game day. And
of course
the
you were.
I think Arsenal had been at Villa. I think that's right, yeah. So, and they both won, but United, obviously, at one stage, it had kind of flip-flopped and Arsenal were champions. So they were in contention for the last day, and that's the same, obviously, coming up ahead of the weekend where they, I think Arsenal are at home to Everton and Man City are at home to Fulham, and they've put Fulham away. A lot of these teams are on the beach already, aren't they? So who haven't got anything to play for.
Well, haven't, Alan, the last day of the season is, just looking here, I'm going to show you the league table. Where is it? Sorry. So City are at home to West Ham and Arsenal are at home to Everton. I mean, I expect City and Arsenal to beat both teams.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? And just having a look here at the league table. So this is where it stands at the moment. So level games, City are 2 points clear on 88 points. Arsenal are on 86. And just a goal difference of +1, really, for Arsenal. So they've got it all to do, really. It's not in their hands anymore, which is kind of a shame for them. But I understand the frustration, having been a Liverpool fan. And Liverpool, like, you can see there, 79 points. I mean, Liverpool lost the league with 97 points, didn't they? Which was a higher tally than any of Man United's under Fergie.
This is what I say, what's mental about football fans, really, and kind of why we're doing this kind of show, I suppose, is, you know, you get a lot of people saying, oh, like you just said, Dave, you know, I've seen Arsenal fans putting up, and Liverpool fans in the past, obviously, putting up, like, these are the points totals. It doesn't matter what the points totals are in your season, as less.
Yeah.
And if you're still second, it doesn't matter what you do. And, well, that would have been enough to win it back then. Well, that's because it was more competitive in a way. The top, like Arsenal and Man United, in 99, when they were going for it, it was toe-to-toe, wasn't it? And
back then,
there wasn't, like, big leads and stuff. If you lost
more than three games, back to be fair, and, you know, and I'm not biased like yourself, you know, back in the day, if you lost three games, more than three games, that was it. You were done.
Yeah.
You didn't win a league title.
Well, I think it changed more when Mourinho came in. He made it about three games, really, because they didn't lose many games at all. But United, I think, probably four, five, six sometimes a season. And that's why the points were a bit lower. We would, and we'd have a little blip and we might lose two and then it was reset. So, you know, look, City have lost three. Liverpool have only lost four. I mean, it's incredible, really. And then Arsenal obviously lost the five. I mean, some great moments throughout the season. Now, of course, we'll cover it on future shows. But, I mean, you know, you think back to Arsenal, like Declan Rice last minute against Man United. And, you know, some of the things with that as well. I mean, like, incredible comebacks. You know, I think it was at Brentford, I think Arsenal were losing. And it was all extra injury time and things like that. It went on for ages. The goalkeeper, time wasting and, you know, but City is just a machine when they get into this position. And I think that's what Pep as well said. He said, you know, they've ground it out. They thought, look, we are in contention. This wasn't priority for them. The Champions League is. But when they're in a position to kind of go on and win it, they did. They just put the foot down and go.
Pains me to say it, but City are probably the best team in Europe right now. I mean, I know Real Madrid, they battered Real Madrid, and Real Madrid always find a way, don't they? They're the masters of Champions League. It's like custom made for them almost. But yeah, they're a machine. They are a machine.
The other thing I'd say, though, is congratulations, obviously, Villa. I mean, it's amazing for their fans.
Yep.
And yeah, I'm full of stats today, Dave, right?
Oh, Jesus.
And weird things I've read. So Villa, brilliant. Who predicted at the start of the season that they would be in the Champions League or have a really good season? I think you might have seen this viral. It went at the time, but Alex Ferguson, they lost their opening game to Newcastle. I think it was 4-5-1. And Alex Ferguson was asked, who do you think has been the most, who's impressed you that you've seen start the season, you know, today? And he said, I know it sounds absurd, but I watched Aston Villa and they played brilliant football. And obviously they went on and got the Champions League spot. So fair play to them. The Villa fans' prayers to God, a.k.a. Paul McGrath, have obviously been answered. And yeah, brilliant to see them in the Champions League spot now, because it's nice to mix it up, I think, isn't it? To see different teams having a go in it. It's such a kind of valuable prize. And it just shows you, you know, they're going to have their day out The stat I was going to say.
Yeah.
This is going back real long time now. 1982, England were in the Euro 82 tournament. Yeah.
No, they were in
World Cup 82, right?
Full of stats this morning, folks. Listen, he's full of stats this morning.
Villa had won the Champion European Cup that year, mm-hmm. and they had some Aston Villa players in England squad, and not one of them played a minute at that World Cup. There you go. Obscure.
Very obscure. You say Fergie's right. So did he say he would get Champions League football, or he just
said they were the most, they were the team that was the that impressed him the most playing football.
Well, on the opening day.
Even though they lost 5-1.
Jesus, you're a reaching, Martin. It's God almighty. If you're new to this podcast, you'll see that, Martin. Anything Alex Ferguson says, gospel. Alex Ferguson and Roy Keane, you know, is absolute gospel to Martin. Also, just want to point out, Alex Ferguson did think that Steve Staunton would be success as Ireland manager. Just pointing that out there. And also thought David Moyes would be success as a Man United manager because he was handpicked by Fergie as well. Just want to point those other stats out to you there, Martin, as well. Bit of humility.
Just on Moyes, I know that we're not going to go off into a big tangent now about Ireland jobs and things like that, but Moyes has definitely got to be a contender, hasn't he? It has to be a conversation.
There's no chance he's going to be Ireland manager.
It's got to be a conversation happening just to get him there for a year or two.
Wouldn't it be lovely to have him?
Yeah, money.
That's all that's going to happen. There's no chance he's going to be Ireland manager. Jesus Christ.
Do you want a conspiracy theory on that?
Here we go. Go on.
Right. Well, I met David Moyes at pre-Euro 2020 final, which was in Euro 20, which is in 2021 before Wembley. Met him at it was kind of UEFA House, I suppose. They took over this hotel, and I've mentioned this kind of meet going there and seeing lots of big wigs, I suppose, of UEFA football. But yeah, Moyes was there as well, so very involved in UEFA. Pally, I'd expect, with the powers that be, although Jonathan Hill's not one of them anymore, but still Pally with you know, the FAI, Paddy Bonner and stuff, you just wouldn't know. Unless, if we win the Euro Millions.
there's no chance in hell. I would take David Moyes. I would honestly take David
Moyes. Really good manager.
He's a good manager. Not an elite, not Man United level. Never should have got that job. But I think I could see him doing a job for Ireland. He's 60. He's 61. There's no way he's going to take an Ireland manager job. He'll probably take it when he's 70, and we've somehow turned the corner. But anyway, we're going to leave it there. That's a Premier League chat. Tell us what you think in the comments below. And of course, you can also email us there at pod@lansdowneroar.ie. That's pod@lansdowneroar.ie. We're going to move it on to the Championship. Lots of Irish interest in the playoffs. We're just going to have a look here. So tomorrow, we've got Leeds United at home in their semi-final second leg against Norwich. The first one, of course, was 0-0. And the day after that, on the Friday, you've got Southampton at home to West Brom. And, of course, that was also 0-0. So the playoffs roaring into life in the first leg there. There's lots of Irish interest here, Martin. Of course, the first game between Leeds and Norwich City at Carr Road, as we said, was 0-0. But one thing that shocked me, and we have to talk about it, was the inclusion of Shane Duffy after being done for drink driving. I'm sure the manager has his reason, but I don't understand why that was the case. Why would you have somebody, what sort of examples that set? First of all, you're getting done for drink driving. And second of all, you don't drop Shane Duffy. I can't get my head around that.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's pretty clear cut, isn't it, drink driving, to be fair. If it's been released that you've been charged and you're going to be up in court for it, or you've been up in court, and it's factual evidence with it, isn't it? There's no trial for that one. You know, it's blood samples or urine samples, and there you go, and the breathalyzer and the readings, and was it 3 times drink drive limit?
Yeah,
ridiculous that footballers are doing that, and on the back of, you know, the very high highly charged kind of situation not long ago now with Richard Keogh, which also involved players being pissed up and driving and being reckless and nearly killing people, to be honest. There's no excuse for that. And yeah, I'm surprised Norwich, I think they could have made a big statement by dropping him for that. And yeah, sad to see. I mean, some of these footballers just think they're beyond the law, and it's the end of the season for some of them. I mean, look, it's not for him though. That's what's also incredible about this. He's preparing a few days out for a playoff game where they're trying to get that team into. I mean, I've seen some stuff on Twitter. Norwich fans obviously in uproar and kind of very much a family club, aren't they? Not that it matters if you are a family club or not, because it's just very clear cut that that's your view. And morally, I think it was wrong that they picked him.
Shocking. I mean, I'm trying to find here if what the reasoning, the rationale. I mean, look, I know the rationale. He probably doesn't have anyone better. And, you know, we need to get to the playoffs and that's it. Yeah, you've got to set a standard. You know what I mean? And I'm sure it's like, oh, he's very sorry. He's a good lad. Yeah, that's fine. It's three times over the limit. You know, it's like, it's not good enough, to be fair. But, yeah. But, I mean, getting back to the football. Who do you fancy in that one? I mean, Leeds, obviously, I think they finished third in the league, didn't they? It's always the way, isn't it?
Fancy Leeds at home. I mean, they're just quite strong. And I think, I think they've had quite a good season, and I can see them just grinding it out at home. But I hope it's Southampton in the other one, which is on Friday. Southampton, of course, cousin Will, family involvement there. Some of the listeners might not be aware that I'm a cousin of Will Smallbone.
yeah. Sorry, wait.
Cousin Will.
Cousin.
Cousin of... So, cousin Will is playing in that one, I hope. And yeah, against West Brom, I mean, these teams have all been around the Premier League in the past, haven't they? So, you know, I'd like to see Southampton come up. I mean, look, they're going to be without Bazunu, as we know, but there is Irish interest there. So I'm hoping they get the job done and get to Wembley.
Malumbi's out as well, isn't he? So you've known Malumbi, you know Bazunu. So it's actually not as much Irish interest.
Well, Manning, is he there?
No, he's at... no, he is, isn't he?
Yeah, he's there, yeah.
Jesus. Sorry guys. We are rusty. We haven't done this for a few weeks. But we will get into it. Yeah. So I mean,
I think because we've covered the pod, because we've done weekly OBIG for the last few years, haven't we? And you know, when I think of Norwich, I'll be honest, I think Adam Ida, and he's not been there now for the last year.
Yeah.
You just think like there are teams in the Championship you just immediately think of, like West Brom. I would think Callum Robinson and Malumbi. Even Darrow Shea, you know, you just forget that they move on. If you don't,
well, Darrow Shea back down the Championship. That was like another prediction. That was another prediction, by the way. Since we're talking about predictions, I said that Burnley would get absolutely fired back down to the Championship. And Martin, yeah. I must be clairvoyant. I was right.
Claire who?
Buoyant. Yeah, anything to say on that? You said, what was it?
No,
said?
I
would stay up.
What I would say about Burnley is that he's not abandoned his principles of how he wanted to play. And that's just cost him. Some teams come up from a Championship. Mm. They try and grind it out. They don't play as they played in the Championship. They don't really adapt. And he didn't try to adapt. He just went, no, we're going to match you toe-to-toe. And then you come on.
Oh, well, didn't it?
But no, but I think it's a shame for Josh Cullen, but I mean, the parachute payments, I'm sure he'll be financially okay. Although wage cuts, obviously, with contracts and things, but I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah.
As will Darrow Shea.
The final of the Championship playoff is on the... Let me just get my list up here. Is on 26th of May. So that'll be interesting to see anyway. But yeah, lots of Irish interest. I'm hoping it's going to be Leeds. And I've always had a soft spot for Leeds. Leeds is at Hampton, anyway. But hopefully Hampton go up. Obviously,
and that's obviously the week before the Champions League final, isn't it? Because then, which is also at Wembley. So we'll be able to preview that, I'm sure, on the show.
Yep. Well, I won't be... actually, speaking of a future show, there is a documentary out on Netflix, which we're going to watch. And it's about the Euro. Speaking of finals at Wembley, is the Euro 2020 final, which is obviously held the year after. Martin and I were both at that, actually. You were inside it, I was outside it. We saw the carnage from two different angles. So we're going to be talking about that documentary, probably on the next episode, actually. I'm going to watch that tonight. Something to watch at work. I mean, not work. No, I will watch it. I will watch it today, and we're going to talk about that. But yeah, Champions League final is at Wembley. And so it's the playoff final. And we're going to move it on, Martin. We're going to move it on to, speaking of finals, And yeah, and speaking of getting every drop out of a particular final, and of course that is Man United's Amazon Prime documentary here called 99. I have a little synopsis here about this. I'm sure Martin's going to wet himself. But here's the synopsis, easy for me to say. 99 will feature exclusive interviews from key characters in the United story with Beckham, Neville, Paul Scholes, Peter Schmeichel, Teddy Sheringham, Andy Cole, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, each recalling every perspective and vital moment in vivid detail. We'll also hear from coaching staff, including Sir Alex and Steve McLaren. No Roy Keane, though, funny enough.
No, and I think the premiere was on the other night, wasn't it, in Manchester? And yeah, I mean, it was great to see all the kind of lads back together and things. And this is something that's happening more and more of. I know that, I don't know if you kind of linked to this a little bit. Did you see Jens Lehmann has tried to patent, is it patent, or, you know, get the rights to the Invincible name as a brand? So that they can do a whole series of events basically around Arsenal's Invincible achievement, which I also have. I'll address that on a future show. I'll that's another myth in football.
How's it a myth? They went through every league.
They lost more games that year in the competitions that they were in than Man United did in the treble season. So bitter.
That's just
the fact of it. And they just ground out draws. They ground out draws just to be... No, it's not. They just go and win.
Still special.
Like I said, oh, we just won't lose. We won't lose. It's awful. I'll demyth that at future episodes.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, interesting that they did that, they've done this. But yeah, the 99 documentary... Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the perspective. One of the other kind of nice links with that, I know you've got a photo up there of Teddy Sheringham, Andy Cole, that they've all,
besties.
Again, worth chatting about, because they did have a massive falling out and didn't talk in that for a long time. So worth covering that, and that has all been forgiven now. So, yeah, that's just football, though. I always say...
Did he speak now, did they?
They do, yeah. They're okay now. But I always... You just don't know what's going on in dressing rooms. And that's even coming up to the end of the season now. You know, most footballers now are on Instagram, aren't they? And you can see, like, you know, the players whose season's finished, who aren't in playoff kind of semi-finals and things, you know, they're off on the beach already. We saw James McLean was in Vegas, I think, with Wrexham celebrating in good style, actually.
Yeah,
little comments that he put on. Because he doesn't drink James McLean, so fair play going to Vegas. And Robinson was somewhere else as well. So, yeah, some questionable gear wearing that they've got. But
anyway. Let's get back to 99, Martin. I'm surprised you're not taking advantage of this, since you love talking about the past and you love going on about...
I haven't watched the documentary yet. Every football fan should watch that, though, because it's history, because it's never been repeated.
Jesus Christ. Well, it has been repeated.
No, it's not. Not without charges.
City just did it.
Not without charges.
No. City just did it last season, so it has been repeated.
We can all
do
it.
It's not that unique.
We can all do it.
Can we now?
With sports washing and cheating. Fair play to City winning their fourth. Another good one I saw, actually, Dave. You'll like this. Right. City winning four in a row. Very, very good. I mean, let's remember that Lance Armstrong won seven Tour de France's in a row as well. We all know why.
I love how you're, you know, I mean, this is an opportunity to talk about United's past, because let's be honest, the present is pretty... speaking of sports washing, we'll get to that in a second, but like, I love how you're taking this opportunity to talk about United's past, because that's all you have at the moment, and you're just like, you're firing shots at Arsenal, you're firing shots at Man United. Do you want to have a shot at Liverpool while you're at it?
But no more that Man United's under 18s won their league the other day, and recently they played Liverpool and they beat them 8-1.
Jesus Christ.
Under 18. So we want to make it to Man United show, but it's more about the future. We've always had a future Man United, but we've always recognised the past. We've always had a youth player involved in a matchday squad. That's a fact. And not a Rafa fact, if you want to bring Liverpool into it. Remember when he spouted his facts that time?
Have you just been like
ready.
Is this your opportunity? I'm looking forward to this.
Since you said to me we're doing this cross-channel football, I've been ready, mate. Don't worry about it.
You have, and it's all like sort of coming out now, isn't it? Just blah, 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 blah. Anyways, so folks, since I might as well talk a bit about the documentary, because Martin is just going on a rant about everything else other than 99. So it comes out on the 17th of May. It comes out on Amazon Prime, so it's in 2 days as of recording. I'm going to watch it. I did cancel my Prime because I had a row. Here's a funny story. I cancelled my Prime because I had a row with Amazon about a table. a podcast table they said was delivered, and I rang them up. I was annoyed because of the whole thing, like they're charging you more now for ad-free Prime. So you got it. So right now at $8.99, you have to pay for, you get ads on Amazon Prime. But if you pay a higher tariff, you don't get the ads, which I think is just cheeky. But anyway, so I was annoyed about that. And the final straw was I got a table. They said a table was delivered. And I came home and it wasn't. And I rang them up and they were very arsey. I went, right, that's it. Fuck it. I'm done. I'm not doing Amazon Prime anymore. Anyway, last week, funny enough, when I was coming home, my next door neighbor goes to me, are you David? I went, yes, I am. Pleased to meet you. I have a parcel for you. Really? Oh. Yeah, from a few months ago. Comes over and it's the table.
Did you ring Amazon Prime and apologize?
Fuck no. That's for charging me for ads. But yeah, funny story. But anyway, that's coming out there. We're going to have a look at that, actually, and we're going to have a chat about that. And hopefully Martin won't be spewing out poison at other clubs. But Jesus, wow. And speaking of Man United, yes. So this was the scene. Arsenal, of course, winning 1-0 over the weekend at Old Trafford. And Manchester, while it was lovely and sunny down in London, which it was like 26 degrees. Manchester, as it does mostly, it rains. And my God, it poured. And just showing there, I mean, could you imagine if this had happened during the match, Martin? The game would have been abandoned.
Yeah, look, you've worked in crowd safety, Dave. Mm. And that would be a massive health and safety kind of risk, yep. I suppose. You know, I've seen footage. I had family members actually at the game, and they sent me videos of like leaks coming in around the back of the stands and everything. I mean, I think even Arsenal showed their dressing room leaking through the ceiling. I mean, I can't understand knowing the location of the seats of and the stadium layout of Man United. I can't understand how it can get through into the ceiling of the dressing rooms. But it just shows you, like, it's very sad, really. What was one of the best stadiums in England, without a doubt. You know, held Champions League finals and things like that in the past. Held the Milan one, didn't it, when Shevchenko?
In 03, yeah.
It's just it's absolute shambles now. And, you know, there's a lot of talk. I mean, look, it's all very political, this Ineos takeover of Man United. You know, Andy Burnham, the MP in Manchester, was out there, former mayor, wasn't he?
And Liverpool as well.
Yeah, very a good lad, like, to be fair. Very instrumental in the kind of justice for the 97. Yep. Fantastic guy. But, you know, he was there. And, you know, because they are talking about, like, politically, the regeneration of Manchester around Man United. I can't really get that in my head, to be honest. Just the fact that, you know, Man United, a multi-million pound, billion company or whatever it is, why did any government money to do that? I don't know, but that's another story, I suppose. But like, it's good to see that they were there to see it kind of falling down, but massively embarrassing for Jim Ratcliffe and stuff, showing the stadium isn't fit for purpose. And visitors to that stadium are getting showered in pissy, rainy water.
Here's the thing. United, and you know, it's kind of funny, and I'd be lying if I said I didn't relish in it, almost. I had to listen for years and years and years about, and, you know, I watched United build that stadium in the night. It was always the biggest stadium. Old Trafford was always huge. Anyway, it was always bigger than Anfield. Yeah. It's always the biggest club stadium in the country. Always was. And, you know, Liverpool stood still. They were stuck in the 80s. You know, you go back to the story. If you ever read the 44 months, the book by Brian Reid about Liverpool and the takeover by Hicks and Gillette and all that. Fascinating read, by the way. And when Liverpool won the treble, they were European champions in 05. And this group of Norwegians, whatever, showed up at Old Trafford and said, oh, come, you know, we'll pay the coach. They're on a coach. You pay the coach driver a few quid to drop them down to Anfield to go in and do a tour of Anfield whilst they were there. And the stadium wasn't open. and Liverpool were just kind of stuck in the '80s, where United were like the glitz and the glamour, and they built that stadium up, winning Premier League titles, European Cups, and the money coming in from Sky. They built that stadium as they went. They did it the right way. And I always admired them for that. I genuinely always admired them for that. You know, they had like Man United toothpaste and stuff. We were all going, oh, you know, that's not real football. Well, it actually was. They were way ahead of the game. But they're stuck in the past, which is so ironic. And when you say to Man United fans, they're like, oh, Liverpool fans are so, you know, so arrogant. So it's like, yeah, I had 20 odd years of it listening to Man United fans in Ireland coming up to me and slagging off Liverpool and going on about, oh, what's the only ship that's never landed in Merseyside? Oh, the Premiership and all this kind of nonsense. Oh, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. And, you know, you got to listen to it. But now, you know, you have to watch the History Channel to see Liverpool's glory days. Well, you know, the shoe's on the other foot now. Liverpool have, organizationally, they are a far better run club. City as well. Look what City have done. They've regenerated areas. Although they are funded by Abu Dhabi. But they have regenerated areas of Manchester. They've turned wasteland into sports centres and that sort of thing. And United have just stood still. You've had greedy billionaire owners with the Glazers. I think took over in 04, was it? Mm-hmm. They took that club over. And yeah, it's just this is where you're at now. It's like a home. You have to, like 20 years since they've had any sort of refurbishment in that stadium. It's gonna happen. And, you know, that's
what we haven't got a video scoreboard in there to show like VAR and all that kind of stuff. It's announced at Old Trafford. And it would cost the money to put in a screen because you're taking out seats. So it's just not a modern football stadium. And I know there's talk about whether they should relocate nearby because they own land nearby. To do it, but I think they've got to obviously engage with the fan base. Whenever you do that, I think you have to kind of engage. And I know that I know there's lots of stuff viral goes out. You know, talking about even City and Tottenham and Ange ranting and all that kind of stuff. Everything's, you know, I don't judge a football fan base of a team by Twitter, basically, because there's a lot of angry people on Twitter, and they don't even go to matches, and you know, they can all have opinions of, you know, Rashford's good or Rashford's shit, things like that. You know, but you're listening to someone who's never been to Old Trafford. I would always judge it on the fan base. I think the fanzines, like we're match going fans, Dave, let's be honest, with Ireland.
Yeah.
I would judge the view of Irish football and what's going on there from people I know who go to games, right? Whether that's, I'm not saying super fans or whatever like that. And, you know, people do have that in their head sometimes that you're slagging off just anyone who's got a vague interest in it. But I would be more entitled to listen to a view of someone who actually goes a lot. And that's the same with the fanzines, are a good kind of idea of how you can kind of judge the fan base. So even that, though, is interesting. They've all released their last issues of the season now, heading into a cup final for Man United, for example. And, you know, that's what the club have to do. They have to engage with the match-going fans because ultimately they're the ones paying the money going through the gates and wanting that match day experience. And that's what it's all about.
Yep. And be interesting to see anyway. And, of course, you know, you got Jim Radcliffe and with his Ineos crowd. And what was the club he took over in France? Was it Rennes? Was it Rennes? Rennes, whatever way you say it, and got relegated, didn't they? So it's going to be very interesting. I mean, I can't say much because we're going to move it on. Just going to finish up on Liverpool here, as always. Why not? I'm the host.
This could be another deluge of
Related. Stay. Just keep your bile and your poison to the next show, at least, because we're running out of time here. But yet, of course, we do have Jurgen Klopp's last game here, our last game as Liverpool manager at Anfield on Sunday.
Anfield. Where is it? Anfield.
Anfield.
Oh, yeah. Anfield.
Mean, are you going to slag off Anfield when you have a waterfall inside your stadium?
He's failed.
And how did he fail?
The pressure. I can't cope with the pressure.
What do you mean he can't cope with pressure? One
league in lockdown. It doesn't count. Crack on.
The stadium, first of all, the league was over before lockdown. So you can get your asterisks and shove it up your arse. Not happening. Here he is anyway. But, you know, not like Martin, I'm not biased. But here he is, your club. The man.
Off, fuck off. what the fuck is that?
Oh, And yes, it is his final game in charge of Liverpool against Wolverhampton, and it will be on Sunday at 3 o'clock. And you know, it's going to be great. I'm tearing up, Martin. I'm feeling very emotional about it. I'm sure you're happy because you know, you might have some, well, we don't know. Apparently, we're going to get Arne Slot in to take over, and we'll see what happens there. But yeah, you're. Any thoughts before? I mean, we're going to do another episode on Friday, but yeah.
In all seriousness, I think he'll get a fitting reception from the Liverpool fans, which he deserves. You know, he has. I kind of jest that he's failed. I think he could have done more, but you know, yeah, I think he's been a good addition to the Premier League, like Mourinho was, and I think we will remember him fondly. Not, you know, he really resurrected Liverpool as a club. So
he has, yeah.
Be my but I'm not too bothered to see him going. Like, I don't think they're as competitive as they should have been, to be fair.
We're gonna have to hold it.
That's fine. I can debate it again, but
we'll talk about it on Monday when we're reviewing where we're talking about when the final game happens, because we'll be here for another half an hour. But I'm gonna be interested to see how you swing that one, mate. Or you spin that one. But anyway, should have been more competitive. Oh, fucking. Anyway.
We will obviously cover other clubs as well.
Yeah, no, we will.
I have to chat to you about. I will actually be chatting. Like I said at the start of the show, we did say non-league, Champions League. We will be obviously looking forward to the Champions League final.
Yes.
With English interest in that, to be honest. Like we, well, actually, a young Irish lad is involved in that. Jude Bellingham should have been playing for Ireland. And we've seen that lovely picture.
But he's regretting that now.
We will be covering that. Yeah. And, but yeah, look, we will obviously be chatting lots of things. And I do want to give a little update on my experience watching Enfield Town qualify for the playoff, as I mentioned at the start of the show, because that was amazing. And, you know, like we said, non-league to Champions League and a little bit of Liverpool thrown in, I suppose, for you, Dave.
Just sprinkle of Liverpool anyway. But listen, thank you for watching. Martin, thank you for being on. And I hope, do you feel lighter now? Do you?
I do. It's like therapy session.
Jesus. Yeah, I'm probably going to need therapy after that. But listen, thank you very much for coming on, Martin. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back. We're going to try and come at you every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. And of course, if anything breaks with the Ireland team, and of course, we do have the squad announcement coming. We will be still going on international duty. Don't worry about that. We're still going to be coming at you with the squad announcement, all that sort of stuff. But for cross-channel football, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and if there's anything huge, we might do like throw a little special one in there. Anyway, so we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much. That's our first episode of this in the record books. Be interesting to see what people think. And tell us what you think. You can leave a comment below here on YouTube. You can also email us directly at pod@lansdownroar.ie. That's pod@lansdownroar.ie. And as always, guys, if you like what you hear, love what you see, scan that QR code down the bottom right. Head over to our Facebook, Instagram, and our YouTube channel. We are trying to grow the YouTube channel. Please do give us a cheeky subscribe. We would very much appreciate it. Anyway, that's all we've got time for. I'm David Dunn. He's Martin Prendergast. Bitter Martin Prendergast. This has been Cross Channel Football. Good night and God bless.